Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And all living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. We are here to love ourselves, to love one another, to love our surroundings, to love, to love, to love. Nahastan anila nijone go shavothya, nijone go shavothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations. from the drum Young Spirit off their Apple Record CD entitled Nichum's Cree Round Dance Songs. The name of that song was Straight Arrow. What I like about this drum is that it is comprised of singers from the drums Red Bull and Blackstone, which listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard featured on our programs. Ashway, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. In today's program, we focus on a very special organization, Smart Mammy, and its youth leadership program, STORY, Strategy, Training, and Organizing Resources for Youth. Yadkinishi Native Center is an intertribal, cultural, environmental, social justice, and news media organization is dedicated to promoting a global culture of peace, justice, and ecological health for all life. This vision is at the core of all of Yadkinishi Native Center's programs and projects. One major emphasis of our work is mentoring and encouraging youth, our future generation, to empower themselves to work for a better world. We do this by networking with various student and youth movements involved with cultural, social, racial, economic, environmental peace, justice, and anti-globalization issues. One example of Yadkinishi Native Center's support of youth is our journalism project, Communications for Community Activists, which trains young activists in messaging and media skills. Messaging, media, and campaign promotion skills are essential for getting one's voice heard. This is the case for many communities and concerns that have often been unnoticed in society or not reported on by the mainstream press. Communications is especially important when fighting for justice. As example, when government or industry actions threaten the well-being of a community and our Mother Earth. Another organization that shares this mission is Smart Mimi. Smart Mimi is a national holistic strategy project that links storytelling and social change to strengthen grassroots community groups. Smart Mimi, like Yadkinishi Native Center, believes in the power of organizing through the power of memes, which are ways of expression of a community's narrative. Narrative is another term for storytelling, a way of giving voice, a way of expression. Story is a lens through which we process information we encounter, cultural, emotional, experiential, political. It is the way a person or community can portray themselves or how others view them. Memes are bits of cultural information that tell our stories. They are a way of communicating a culture's history and wisdoms, current situations, and vision for the future. Depending on who tells or how a narrative is told, that story could unite or divide people, obscure certain issues, or spotlight others. A story can inform and enlighten, or it can also be used to deceive, mislead, cover up, or falsify the truth. Understanding communications, analyzing and examining messaging, which has so much influence in the state of the world, especially now in the information age of the 21st century, is a critical necessity if we are to create a global culture of peace and justice. A good example are the numerous public relations campaigns by business and industry that should really be called public deception campaigns. Smart Meme, like Yadkinishi Native Center, has supported a range of grassroots issues by providing strategy organizing to various activist groups around North America. Yadkinishi Native Center over the years has had the honor to partner with Smart Meme at several of these events. One very special gathering was Smart Meme's national training known as Insight Insight. Insight Insight was a 3-day training retreat focused on organizing, strategy, storytelling, and reflection. It was a space for youth
to plant and strengthen their activism. I was invited to be one of several elders to share experience and promote intergenerational and cross-cultural learning. Smart Memes 3-Day Insight Storytelling, Movement Building, and Creating a Cultural Strategy Training was held in the traditional homeland of the Penacook Indian Nation in what is now present-day central and southern New Hampshire. This northeast woodland Merrimack River watershed is a beautiful area of forest, hills, lakes, and ponds, very similar to my neighboring Wabanaki tribal territory. The conference site, Owl's Nest Lodge on Bradley Lake, is in the shadow of Gawas-Iwajo, Windfall Mountain known as Mount Kearsarge. Gawas-Iwajo is a place I know well due to the nearby Mount Kearsarge Indian Museum, where for a time I often lecture to visitors on the cultural history of Northeast Woodland Indigenous peoples. Smart Meme Strategy and Training Project was founded to support struggles for justice, peace, democracy, and an ecological future. Smart Meme are people who believe in the power of ideas, the power of collective wisdom of communities, and the power of stories to change the world for the better. These are values and principles Yad Kiddushi Nehru Center believes in, and is why Yad Kiddushi Nehru Center is honored to network and support Smart Meme whenever we can. We urge all of our worldwide listeners to likewise appreciate and support Smart Meme. One of the great aspects of the Smart Meme 3-Day Insight Youth Strategy Training Retreat is the diversity of individuals and organizations participating. My next guest, Nico Amador, is with a nonviolent youth collective, FOR, Fellowship of Reconciliation. This organization's mission statement is an important expression for a world of peace, justice, and nonviolence, a vision Yad Kiddushi Native Center shares and likewise works for. Listen to FOR's mission statement. Quote, "The Fellowship of Reconciliation envisions a world of justice, peace, and freedom. It is a revolutionary vision of a beloved community where differences are respected, conflicts addressed nonviolently, oppressive structures dismantled, and where people live in harmony with the earth, nurtured by diverse spiritual traditions that foster compassion, solidarity, and reconciliation. The Fellowship of Reconciliation seeks to replace violence, war, racism, and economic injustice with nonviolence, peace, and justice. We are an interfaith organization committed to active nonviolence as a transforming way of life and as a means of radical change. We educate, train, and build coalitions, engage in nonviolent and compassionate actions locally, nationally, and globally," unquote. It is now my pleasure to welcome Nico Amador to Wolf Mountain Radio.
All right, greetings. Thank you. First, I'm here with a group called the Nonviolent Youth Collective, and we work within the organization called the Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is a national interfaith peace and justice organization. As young people within the organization, we are part of an effort to regenerate some of the movements that the FOR has been a part of and bring a new analysis of anti-oppression, anti-racism, and push forward those ideas in our activism around nonviolence.
One very important aspect of this Smart Meme gathering is the diversity of individuals and the organizations represented at this youth training. Having different cultures, geographic areas, and even various age groups for networking with each other and having intergenerational exchange is one of the main reasons why I appreciate and respect this organization, Smart Meme, so much. Nico, what has been your experience thus far here at the 3-Day Story Retreat Training?
Well, I think so far Smart Meme has really reminded me of all the times recently where I've been thinking about the stories that I come from and the story that I'm trying to tell. That's been a really important part of my experience so far, is just being grounded once again in those stories and being really careful about how I think about the stories that I want to be telling about myself and about the movements I'm a part of.
Yad Kodesh Nader Center has always promoted peace and justice for all peoples, not just indigenous communities. This is obvious from the fact that our Wolf Mountain Radio programs are broadcast on Global Community Radio, RFPI, Radio for Peace International. I serve on RFPI's International Board of Advisors, which promotes RFPI to be a voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, and defender of truth. Yad Kodesh Nader Center, Keneally Goa program, not only monitors peace, social justice, and native rights, but also conducts peace education and conflict mediation trainings, often in partnership with other peace and justice organizations. One very important issue our Keneally Goa program works on, that I know the organization you are with, FOURS Nonviolent Youth Collective, is the issue of military recruitment to students and youth, as well as working in the conscientious objector movement. Within Indian country, the U.S. Armed Forces is very active in recruiting Native youth into the military. It is ironic that per capita, American Indians has the highest percentage of people per ethnic groups in the U.S. military, despite the long and abusive U.S. history against Native American lands and our tribal nations. Nicole, would you please talk about this issue of military recruitment and the Nonviolent Youth Collective I Will Not Kill campaign as example?
Yeah, one of our newest campaigns is called the I Will Not Kill campaign, which came out of a gathering that happened in February in Nyack, New York, with a broad coalition of people, some young people within the Fellowship of Reconciliations, some of our elders within the Fellowship of Reconciliation, also the American Friends Service Committee, people from the War Resisters League, you know, so really a wide gathering of people came together and tried to talk about what was a message that we could be putting out there for young people that people could latch onto and kind of claim for themselves as an empowering statement. And the statement that came out of that gathering was, I will not kill. We're going to be using that statement to be running counter recruitment campaigns on campuses and high schools and our lobby efforts, but also to spread ideas of nonviolence. And so some people, you know, might say, I will not kill in the name of any ideology for my president, for my country. You know, that goes against my values. But also people have taken it to a lot of different levels in terms of thinking about a nonviolent lifestyle, living more sustainably with earth, being vegetarian, things like that. And so it's been a very positive message to be working around, and something that we feel people can really have ownership over and use the way they want to.
Two, one, two, three, four. Everybody talk about
Always a Chance, a very special classic song by John Lennon. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yadkinishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. I'm here in the traditional homeland of the Penacook Indian Nation, what is now called Southern and Central New Hampshire. I have the honor to be attending a national youth leadership training conference hosted by Smart Meme, the strategy, organizing, campaign, messaging, and communications collective that was founded to support struggles for justice, peace, democracy, and an ecological future. One fellow participant I'm speaking with as a guest on Wolf Mountain Radio is Nico Amador. Nico is with the Nonviolent Youth Collective, a group of young activists, artists, facilitators, and organizers who are committed to social justice and nonviolent transformation. My next question focuses on student and youth activism, especially within what I term the anti-war movement. When I was young, around the same age as many of the folks here, not only was I a young American Indian Movement warrior fighting to protect Mother Earth and Native rights, but also protested the Vietnam War, which also impacted Kampuchea, Cambodia, and Laos. Now, U.S. policy and military actions in Afghanistan and Iraq have America involved in two serious wars. Do you feel your generation is involved enough in the anti-war movement? Do you feel young people are active enough in the resistance of the Bush-Cheney military doctrine?
Yeah, I do see widespread resistance among a lot of different youth. I've worked in the high schools, I've worked in homeless youth shelters, and I mean, kids as young as 15 who've been living on the streets can break down the corporate media and some of the issues behind the war, so they definitely understand the messages that are being put out there to entice them. I think the thing that always comes up as a conflict is resources and this feeling of being powerless or having a lack of options. That's something I saw a lot working in the high schools, where it wasn't that they didn't understand that the army was trying to seduce them, or, you know, they might not even agree with the war on terror or, you know, going to Iraq or anything like that, but they just really felt like, I don't have other ways of getting out of my situation, you know, of being able to pay for college and things like that. And so that's where we're trying to do a lot more re-education and trying to show kids that they do have options. You know, one of the messages we talk a lot about in our nonviolence trainings is responsibility, not blame. So that's one thing that as young people, you know, we can look around us and we can say all these people in power, they're to blame for our situation, but at some point we do have to start taking responsibility for claiming alternatives, for educating ourselves, and for setting up ways of supporting each other so people don't have to take those options that they don't agree with.
My next question to you deals with civil rights. Civil and political rights have always been a struggle for people of color, women, and the poor. As a Native person, I can tell you that Indigenous people still suffer many injustices and inequality by the U.S. and Canadian governments. Continued violations of treaties and federal authority controlling tribal governments exemplify this. One very particularly troubling civil liberties issue to me is the U.S. Patriot Act. Since 9/11, there has been a great erosion of First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, association, assembly, freedom of the press. Under the Bush administration, there's been much more unwarranted government intrusion into everyone's personal private life, from wiretapping to email collections to FBI surveillance watch lists. The legal right of persons picked up have certainly been stripped down, as seen in the high number of people being detained without due process. The White House and U.S. Justice Department have trampled the Bill of Rights. All citizens supposedly are guaranteed under the law. How do you young people feel about the threats to personal freedoms, to civil rights, civil liberties, especially in view of the Patriot Act and increased abuse by law enforcement agencies.
I'm not sure that all young people are very aware of the specifics of the Patriot Act, but I think a lot of people in their lives feel the effects of it. And so whether they blame it on the Patriot Act or some of the other things that have gone through Congress recently, it shows up and manifests in people's lives through policing, through, you know, seeing friends and family members sent to prison for just having a lack of resources, a lack of access to social services, all these different things that are these tools to fight the so-called war on terror come at a cost. And I think people feel that. And I think that a lot of young people find where things are affecting them in their life. And that's what that's kind of their in the movement. That's the thing that they're able to express and articulate, and they do take to the streets, over they do get involved in organizing. And I think there's a lot of really, really talented young people that are doing really innovative things in terms of expressing their dissent. You know, everything from being out on the streets to doing workshops in their communities to doing art, music, anything to spread a message of resistance.
Concerns of Yad Kiddush Neder Center is encouraging, supporting, and mentoring young people in order for them to engage themselves in cultural, social, economic, environmental justice, what I often call anti-globalization. This is why I am participating here at Smart Meme's 3-day story training retreat. I also need to stress how much I learned from students and youth as well. This is a reason why Yad Kiddushi Native Center networks with the youth activist movement to find groups as the Ruckus Society, Earth First, National Coalition of Organized Resistance, Student Environmental Action Coalition, and National Student Farm Worker Alliance, among others. And Florida Gulf Coast University, where I serve on FGCU's Center for Environment and Sustainability Education Board of Advisors, I have the great opportunity to encourage students as a curriculum advisor and lecturer, as well as learn from students. Within Native society, young people are very much valued, respected, and listened to. Whenever I go to Native conferences, I make a special effort to attend youth events to not only support Indian young people, but also to hear their concerns and perspectives. Unfortunately, there are many of my generation and even older activists that do not necessarily listen enough to young people, your generation. This troubles me greatly. It is critically important that students and youth are respected more and allowed leadership in progressive movements. Would you please comment on this?
I think we sometimes have a culture of forgetting, and I think a lot of people forget that, especially people who are now maybe in their 50s or 60s but were activists, you know, years back. I think they forget I think they forget how old they were at that point, and that, you know, they really knew what they were doing. They knew what they were talking about. And I think that we don't live in a culture that values a diversity of voices or knows how to appreciate the different strengths that people bring. But it's always been young people at the forefront of so many different movements, you know, for centuries, you know, labor movements, indigenous struggles, civil rights movements, anti-war movements, everything. Young people have played a really important role and, you know, often been the ones to put their necks out there and to really risk putting their lives in danger. Yeah, I think one of the things that we've been doing in our work in the Nonviolent Youth Collective is try to bridge that gap between young people and older generations and try to use a model of a mutual mentorship where there's a recognition that our elders can bring a certain wisdom that young people, you know, haven't yet learned, but also that young people have ways of challenging elders that are really important too. And I do see great examples of people working together. Recently, I was back home in San Diego to protest the racist, fascist appearance of the Minutemen on the San Diego-Tijuana border. And there's a really beautiful coalition of folks working there right now. Young anarchist folks who are artists and, you know, who are really taking their lead from a lot of elders, especially Mexican immigrants who are now living in San Diego, taking their cues from them, but really working in a very respectful coalition and really using each other's strengths. And, you know, the protests that have happened in the last couple months there have been very successful in weakening the appearance of the Minutemen. And so that to me stands out as one example recently where I feel like there's a lot of hope for generations working together.
I was particularly interested in your comment about the Minuteman militia along the so-called U.S.-Mexico border, which is a creation of the United States, a border not recognized by us indigenous peoples. For the benefit of our international audience, some of whom may not know about the Minuteman militia movement, let me briefly mention that many members are right-wing anti-immigration extreme activists. Minuteman groups, although civilians, patrol U.S. border areas with very sophisticated communications and tracking equipment. Their primary objective is harassing those trying to enter the United States and encouraging anti-immigration hostility in America. In what is now called the U.S. Southwest border area, Minutemen groups often work closely with U.S. law enforcement, especially ICE border agents. This is a major problem for several Native American nations, such as the Toto Odham, Yaqui, Huichol, and Inde Apache, whose homeland is on both sides of the so-called U.S.-Mexico border. Immigration police conduct raids in tribal communities in the middle of the night. There have been accounts of American Indians being falsely arrested and having sacred ceremonial items desecrated or destroyed by government police. Many Minuteman groups closely associate themselves with the white supremacy movement that has a long history of racial hatred towards people of color. To me and many others in North America, the Minutemen exemplify xenophobia. My next question relates to coalition building and the issue of racial and gender privilege. In order for social, economic, environmental justice efforts to be successful, then this movement must be open to examining how race and gender are part of group dynamics. Historically, many progressive groups and campaigns were greatly dominated and controlled mostly by white people, often white men. This situation created a strong Eurocentric way of thinking, often at the exclusion of people of color, people of culture. Within the past 20 years, there has been some efforts to change this power structure to better respect people of culture, people of color, concerns and strategies. My experience with students and young people have been a positive one in this area. Many youth gatherings start off with ground rules and serious discussions about white privilege. It is important to examine how leadership and group organizational structure create or perpetuate a certain type of mentality, i.e. Eurocentric or male power. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is always promoting culture, racial, gender, equality in all groups and campaigns we work with. What are your thoughts about this subject?
One place that we like to start, especially in our trainings, we hold the Nonviolent Youth Collective that I'm a part of, holds 8-day trainings called Peacemaker Institute trainings. Those are places where we bring young people together from all over the country to explore nonviolent direct action as a form of organizing, also as a form of sustainable living and sustainable relationship building. And the piece about relationship, I think you're right. I think racism is one place where relationships have really fallen apart in movements in the past, where coalitions were clearly needed to address issues of environmental justice, of labor, of civil rights, and because coalitions couldn't get past their own internal issues and dynamics around racism, those movements face a lot of barriers internally. And so one thing that we like to do in our trainings is, you know, really challenge white people to start naming their privilege, for one thing. Whiteness is something that, although it's very visible to people of color, you know, for people that hold the privilege of being white, can seem very invisible. The privilege of being white can seem very invisible. And so a lot of times we just try to take the steps of walking white people through the process of really naming their privilege, of being able to point out that these are all the places in your life where you're probably experiencing privilege that you might not have thought of before. You know, and a lot of times we do that. It's a very emotional process for people to come to terms with that. And there's often a lot of feelings of guilt and shame that come from that, a lot of defensiveness. But we really try to work with people to say, you know, those feelings are normal. That's part of claiming your privilege and realizing that you do have institutional power and that you have been part of an oppressive history, but now you're facing a point where you can start making choices to change that. There's a lot of learning that takes place around that, but we do try to show people that, you know, especially young white people, that there is a role that they can be playing as allies. You know, there are ways to participate in movements in a way that is respectful and, you know, when it's appropriate, taking their cues from people of color. In those same trainings, we also often have a lot of people of color there, and so the same time we're working with people of color to talk about what are the internal issues of oppression that play out even in our own communities and internalized racism and colorism and things like that. And so it's not just a one-sided dialogue where everything is directed only at white people. We also try to get people of color to talk about around those issues and, you know, and really that it's everyone, because we've all experienced this oppressive system, it's everyone that has to start making changes. And so those are the dialogues that we try to have.
from Native American flutist Hovia Edwards, off Canyon Records CD entitled Reflections, featuring Robert Reed Cody and Hovia Edwards. The name of that piece was Song of Friendship. Speaking of friendship, I want to thank my new friend, Nico Amador, for being a guest on Wolf Mountain Radio. We're nearing the end of our interview time, so let me just ask if you have any last comments you wish to share with our worldwide listeners.
I want to thank you, and I wanted to end with one of my favorite quotes from one of the writers that I always go back to and try to read her poetry and her essays when I need strength. So this is a quote by June Jordan, who's one of my favorite poet activists, and she says, "I have always had to invent the power my freedom required." And I love that quote because I think that's so much about what we're here for this weekend at Smart Meme. It's about looking at where we've come from, but it's also figuring out what is the story we need to be telling to get free. What is the power that we need to be inventing through those stories that we tell for our liberation? And so for me, the most important thing is trying to live as a whole person and trying to build my community from that, from being honest about where I'm from, where I'm at, what I'm learning, the ways that I need to grow, and in doing that with the community of other people, I really feel like there's a lot of power in that and there's a lot of strength. And I'm really excited that the energy that I'm feeling, especially from people this weekend here, for inventing those stories that we need for the future.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio. Wolf Mountain Radio encourages our listeners to learn more about the two organizations spoken about in today's program, Smart Meme and FOR's Nonviolent Youth Collective. Smart Meme's website is www.smartmeme.com. That's www.smartmeme.com. The Fellowship of Reconciliation's Nonviolent Youth Collective website is www.youth.4usa.org. Once again, the Fellowship of Reconciliation's Nonviolent Youth Collective website is www.youth.4usa.org. Please listen next time for Program 3 of Wolf Mountain Radio Special Series featuring Smart Meme. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a contemporary Native song from the band Brulé, off their Sound of America record CD, entitled One Nation. The name of the song we will hear is Injustice for All. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, kinan wantakwasin to all of our relations.